Okay, today is Wednesday, January 14th, 23rd day of the month of Tevet. This is the women's Chumash share. We're in the middle of beginning of Parshas Noach. Okay, Rabotai. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. Perek, yeah. Okay, we're in the middle of Perek Zayin. And last week we focused on the Radak, who strenuously disagreed with Rashi's analysis concerning Noach's entering the Teva. So I'd like to now just read a couple of psukim, and I want to get your sense as to what you think is like totally superfluous. So I'm just going to read the text, a couple of psukim, so much unusual to read like several psukim at a time. But I want you to get a certain flavor as to what's happening and then raise a question. So I'll tell you which psukim I'm going to read. I'm going to start with Pasuk Aleph, to make a little note. I'm going to read Aleph. Aleph and Bet. Then I'm going to read Hey, Zion, Chet, Tet, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalid, Tet Vav, Tet Zayin. Okay? Just going to read those psukim. Tell me what you sense is happening. I'm reading again. Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, Bo ata v'chol beitcha el ha-teva, ki odcha ra'iti tzadik lefonai b'dor hazeh. Hashem says to Noach, come into the teva. You are a tzaddik. Not focusing on any details and anything we already said. Mikol habeima haTorah tikachla shiva shiva ish v'ishto. Take all set from the kosher animals. Take seven. Min habeima shelo Torah hi shnayim ish v'ishto. Fine. Very nice. Now I go to pasuk hey. Vayas Noach kichol asher tzivo Hashem. Noach did everything that God said. Then pasuk zayin. Vayavon Noach ubanav ishto uneshei banav ito ala teva b'nei hamabul. Noach came to the teva. It said Vayas Noach kasher tivo Hashem, and now mikol ha min habeima haTorah min habeina Torah Torah min haof asher ukam Hashem shnayim shnayim bo'u el Noach ala teva zacharu nekeva. Then I'm reading now Yud Gimel. The Etzam Ayom Hazeh Bon Noach V'Shem V'Chol Mayam Nech V'Eish Noach Shesh Mayam Nech V'Leva Heime V'Chol Achai Lemina V'Chol Abiyan Lemina V'Chol Amesom Mezanot Lemina V'Chol Abiyan Lemina V'Chol Abiyan Lemina V'Yavon Noach Alat Evo Shnaim Shnaim V'Chol Abiyan Lemina V'Chol Abiyan Lemina V'Habayim Zachon Nech V'Chol Abiyan Lemina. What's happening here? 58 times, what does it say? That they're coming into the Teva. How many times have I got to tell you? Coming into the Teva. So sometimes Rashi tries to say, you know, once it's to arrange the animals, this, you get a sense that if it's necessary to state that God tells him to, or that he's coming into the, that he should go into the Teva, or he's coming into the Teva, that something is happening here. Yet there is a reluctance for it to happen. If you read it, try to imagine through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind as to what's happening here. You are God for the next 5 minutes. You are the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tell me what's going to happen as you contemplate that which you predicted, which you promised will happen. What's running through your mind, Rabbi Mishael?
It feels good to be called Rabbi Mishael.
He didn't want to bring the reins because he thought perhaps somebody can build a shiva and it would just be a gentle rain.
Tell me why. That's exactly what my point is going to be. Tell me why he's thinking that way. Why are you thinking that way? So I created this. You think I really want to do this? You think I enjoy destroying all of mankind? So the way that that thought is communicated is that God, the editor of the Torah, keeps saying, let Noah come into the tent. Let him come, let him come, let him come. He came. Let him come. Let's bring the animals. As if it's taking 10 psukim to get to the point. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in zero delight doing what he's about to do. And he is, as you eloquently say, he is hoping that somebody, the peoples, will change their mind, will ultimately recognize that he is serious, and what will he not, and then he won't have to destroy the world. So, don't forget, I can teach you dozens of halachot that are learned out from one extra letter of the Torah. Every word of the Torah is measured. If you study the Gemara, the Midrash, sometimes, why is this word here? Why is that letter there? Extra letters. And you learn out what's called tile halachot, bundles of halachot. And here we're going on 7, 8, 10 psukim. Nothing really new happened. Just a simple repetition of what's happened. And this is something you have to become incredibly sensitive to as you study the text of the Chumash. Do me a favor, open up for a second to, I want you to look at four parshiyot. It's only 400 psukim. So look at 400 psukim. Look at Parshat Truma, that's Shemot chapter 25. It's actually Truma and Tetzaveh. But it starts at Shemot 25. And then, so you just get a flavor of what's happening in 25. Skim through it, you'll see, you'll be able to recognize instantly what's happening. And then take a look at Shemot 35, which is Parshat Vayakel, after the third Pasuk. And just fly through the Pasukim, and what will you see? So tell me what the topic is. Vayakel corresponds to Truma, Pekudei corresponds to Tetzaveh. So what's happening in Truma and Tetzaveh, and then what's happening in Vayakel and Pekudei? Good, it's hot. So what's happening in Truma and Tetzaveh? The command. Two parshiyot. Everything. Well, you have to. If you have a command, you got to explain every detail. Then, what happens in Vayakel and Pekudei? The exact same repetition. Ladies and gentlemen, please give me one pasuk that could have encapsulated the 232 pasukim in Vayakel and Pekudei. Vayas Moshe, what? Vayas Hussein. Oh, Vayas Moshe, B'nai Yisrael, Kechol Asher Tziva, Hashem, God. And I know exactly what. 99% of the time, when there is a command in the Torah, there is no repetition of that command that B'nai Yisrael follow through. There is no such parallel. None whatsoever. None. So I'll just take a random sample. Random. There is the command to observe the Ten Commandments in Shemot chapter 20. Does it say in Shemot chapter 21? Oh, the Jews said, oh, the Jews went there and said, okay, I will believe in God, there will be no God. We don't see that. God gives a command, a set of rules, and we expect it to be done. At best it says, Vayas Moshe, Vayas Uchene, did it. Why 232 psukim to recapture Truman Tzad? So whenever you have to ask the question. So I can show you other illustrations, but I'm just going to, here, that's one. And I'll share with you what Rav Aaron Lichtenstein once suggested. Why 232 psukim? What is in the interim of the two parshiyot? There's Truman Tzad, what's in the middle? Kitisa. Kitisa's Chet HaEgel. So here is what's happening. Somebody is engaged to someone, and they plan on building a home. And then, one of the partners, before they move in, before they finish the marriage, or rather, unfaithful, have an affair with someone. But they decide to reconcile, and they continue with the building of the house. Do you think it's going to be done with the same enthusiasm as that happened initially? No. What is the relationship now between God and Am Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel? Yes, but when God says, I'm going to forgive you, and he does, at the end of Kisisa, he says, I will forgive you. He tells that to Moshe. And that's the first Yom Kippur that we experienced. The first Yom Kippur was when God said to Am Yisrael, what's going to happen? I'm going to forgive you for the Chet HaEgel. So when God forgives, he means it's sincere. And he's prepared to restore the relationship to the exact same intensity level as what? As it was before. How does the text communicate that? By spelling 232 psukim and repeating it again. Not just saying, bayas, they did it. I'm going to take the effort and repeat 232 psukim to show that it's the exact same thing as what happened in Truman Tzad. So whenever you find something going on and on and on, you have to raise the question, why is the text being so elaborate, so lengthy, when it could have truncated into one word or one pasuk? So you have to say something. So here, Mrs. Foreman, acting as God, says very well. That's exactly what's running. The delay in saying, I did it, I told him to come, I came, he came. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hurting. And he doesn't want to do this. And he's looking for any second where somebody will say, I'm sorry, I'm ready to do tshuva. Ha! I have a good excuse not to do it. And the way you create that effect is by telling Noach to come into the table. Not once, but 18 times. Telling Noach to come into the table. Good, that's point. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm
with you. It's okay, go right ahead.
What about the halacha when... It said, "Vayas ken Aaron," and Rashi said,
That's exactly good. That's a great point. That illustrates so why in the world? Why does Rashi? Why does he have to comment? Because would you have expected Aaron not to do that? Why
he didn't add and he didn't detract?
Correct. Okay. So exactly correct. But Rashi's what's bothering Rashi? That normally when God issues a command, does it say that they
taken for granted
that they did it?
Yes.
That's why Rashi's bothered with
right.
that.
So I'm saying, in this particular instance, you can also say, perhaps, Lahagid Shifosha Noah, that this is to praise Noah in that he did exactly what God told him to do, despite perhaps all indications to the contrary, or despite it being very, very difficult to believe that, in fact, the world would be destroyed and he would be saved.
Okay. It's a good point. I'm not saying no.
Maybe it's to his credit.
No, I'm not saying no. Yeah.
Did the people know that there was going to be a flood?
Well,
they listened to Noah.
Good. There is no indication in the text that Noah communicated with anybody. The Midrash says he did, and that's why he gave him this 120 years notice. That he did tell people. Again, the text doesn't say it. But Rashi, in the name of the Midrash, believes that he did communicate and expected them to. What I just suggested would support that, that he did make an attempt and they didn't believe him. Yes. Yeah.
The aspect of Hashem that I was thinking about when we were talking is Avinu Malkeinu, because apparently the peace and the peace
no doubt
hoping the king will
correct. That's a very good point. No doubt. God sometimes appears as the authoritative Melech, but sometimes he appears as a simple, as a parent, and he's willing to, you know, and he's praying that he's going to change his mind. Yes.
Also, but after disaster, doing the same actions as before, it has a different resonance. A Holocaust survivor, when he builds a house or has a child, it's different from before. So it's more expected after the area. Here it's like anticipatory. It's like God dreading. It's not because something happened, and so
correct.
It feels different.
He's just dreading that
he's dreading the feeling that will come.
That's correct. 100%. And that's attaching a little human emotion to God. That's exactly what I'm suggesting. Precisely. So now we can go to the text itself. So it says, and we'll start again, if you remember, Pasuk Vav. We were told that Noach was 600 years old. Remember, Rashi made the calculation. He said, if you figure it out, Mitushelach dies exactly when he was... Very nice. Very nice. Vayavo Noach, Pasuk Zayin, Ubanav Ishtou Udishemanav Ito Alateva, Mipnei Mehamabul. Mipnei Mehamabul. So Rashi says, so there is man and women. Noach and his sons, Noach ubanav, then his wife and his daughters-in-law. So Rashi says why? Rashi pasuk zay. Ha'anashim levad, v'hanashim levad. Lefi shine'esru b'tashmish hamita, b'bnei sha'olam haya sharui b'tza'ar. They were not permitted to have relations because the world was in pain, in suffering. This is quoted in Masechet Ta'anit, that any time that there is a famine, a ra'av, or any type of natural disaster, husband and wife should refrain from having relations, because to demonstrate that you are sympathy with what's happening in this world and not oblivious to what's happening in this world. Then Mehamabul, we already looked at Rashi when we read the Radak last week. Rashi said, if you remember, Afnoch Miktani Amanahaya didn't exactly believe that the Mabul was going to come after it started raining and he was being flooded to some extent. It literally pushed him into the Teva. And the Radak last week said, I don't know what's driving Rashi, I don't know why he had to say that, and so on and so forth. Fine. Good. Moving on. I'm going to get to two, three other things. Shnayim, shnayim, ba'u el ateva, el noach el ateva, sachau en ekeva, kasher tziva elohim et noach. So what question are you going to ask? Shnayim, shnayim, ba'u el noach el ateva. Translate that. Translate. You can ask your translation. Two by two. What? Ah. So you translated two by two. What would you say is the term? How do you translate it?
Two
came in. Shnayim shnayim. Two of how? What's?
Seven.
Two
species came.
Exactly. So Rashi's going to alert us, don't interpret it like that. How do you interpret Shnayim Shnayim? Two at a time. Male and female, but it's not telling us number of how many came. That's exactly why she's learning. Because I could have said that the Shnayim means what? Total of two. Two came in to the Teva with Noah.
A pair at a time.
That's okay, that's what Rashi's saying. Don't interpret, that's what Rashi's going to say. I could have said two, and then you'll be perplexed what happened to the seven. Therefore, says Rashi, two Shnayim Shnayim does not mean two, it means a pair. How does the pair, what pair can say? Zacharu nekeva. That's how interpret, good. Kasher tziva elohim et Noah. Vayehi l'shivat hayamim, umei hamabul hayu hal haaretz. Remember, God gave him an extra 7 days. You know, whatever that 7 days is, 7 days lapsed, and the mayors of Mabul's arts. Bishnat sheish meot shana l'chaye Noach. Another repetition. We were told 5 psukim ago, it was, again, it's like the agonizing delay of implementing this. Bishnat sheish meot shana l'chaye Noach, b'chodesh hasheni, b'shiva asar yom l'chodesh, Bayom hazeh nivkeu kol mayenot hatohom raba va'arubot hashemayim niftachu. What happened? Nivkeu kol mayenot tohom raba. Mazeh mayan? Mazeh mayan? No mayan. What's a mayanot? Springs. Where are these springs? Tohom raba, well below the surface of the earth. So what happens? Exactly. And also the arubot hashamayim niftachu. So everybody explains, so what happens is, first there is an abundance of rain for 40 days. That softens up the ground to such an extent that eventually those underground what? Springs are going to surface and continue to flood the earth. Hence, how long was Noah stuck there? Not after 40 days. How long was he stuck there? 150 days. Why 150 days? If it stopped raining after 40 days? Because after 40 days, those tahom rabah, the springs that were below the surface, suddenly the surface, the top layer, there was soil erosion, and enabled the springs to actually pour forth their waters on the earth, adding to the waters of the rain. All of this happened when? When did it happen? On the second month, 17th day of the month. There is a titanic machloikis between Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yeshua. What is the second day? Which is the second month? Everybody knows this machloikis. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that this took place during the month of Cheshvan. And the second month is when? The second month is second to the month of Tishrei. Because Tishrei is the first month of the year. Why is Tishrei the first month of the year? Because the world was created in the first month, in Tishrei. We know that. What? Correct. Rabbi Yoshua believes that this was the month of Iyar. Even though right now there doesn't seem to be any significance to the month of Iyar, but eventually there will be. We're going to read in a couple of weeks, next week, not this week, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. Nisan is the first month of the year. Hence, BaChodesh HaSheni has to be the month of Iyar. The significance of the month of Nisan is what? Is in fact Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Mitzrayim. And here comes a enormous titanic debate between Rabbi. It's not just which date we're looking at. We're looking at as a cause of the creation and its ultimate destruction. If you take a more universalistic approach, what was created on the first day of Tishrei, the entire world. During the first 7 days. during the culmination of the creation of the world with man took place on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So now the world being destroyed is not a uniquely Jewish experience. It's an experience of much greater proportions. God is destroying the world, which now serves as the habitat of all of humanity. Hence, Rabbi Eliezer looks at creation and identifies the flood in terms, in perspective of the creation as a whole. Rabbi Yeshua believes, as many other Ma'amari Chazal believe, that the world was created not for mankind in general. The man was created very selfishly for what? For Am Yisrael. And that if not Am Yisrael ultimately observing, committing to the Torah, what would God have decided? It doesn't pay to create the world. So now, the destruction of the world, according to Rabbi Yeshua, always has to be linked to what? To the fact that its significance to Am Yisrael. So the only nation in the world that considers the first month of the year, Nisan, is what? Is Am Yisrael. So when God is destroying the world, for whom will this have the greatest significance? The nation of Israel, which unfortunately is not going to have what? A chance to develop. If you destroy all of mankind now, all of Am Yisrael will not be able to survive. And his focus is not a more universalistic one, but a particularistic one. That every action of this world has to be understood and related what? As its impact upon and its effect upon Am Yisrael. That's a much more narrower vision. And so it's not just a machlokes of debate, it's a machlokes of perspective as to how you view what's happening. So on that second day, on the 17th day of that second month, this all took place. Yes?
So, as I understand it, there are different years in our concept, in the Jewish concept. There's the year that starts with Yetzirah Mitzrayim, and there's the year that starts with the trees, and there's the year that starts with the creation. So they're just picking different versions of when our year starts.
No, there's nothing, no indication about years.
But the first month of the year,
depending when you start the year.
Correct. That's correct. So, but its significance is that it's related who had the first of the year as the month of Nisan. That's the Jewish people. So the destruction of the Mabul has to be looked as its impact upon Am Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer says that we're dealing with the first of the month, first of the year is Rosh Hashanah, creation of the world. Well, creation of the world is not a uniquely Jewish experience.
There are a lot of different years, is what I'm saying. There are different first days of the year.
Yeah, right. Well, but which one is he focusing on? The day of creation.
But to be a believing Jew, you can pick whichever one you want. And I say it's Nisan, and you can say,
Tishrei. Yeah. There are two, Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yeshua believe that. Yeah.
And he was looked up to.
Yeah, of course. No doubt. No doubt.
So you're saying the creation and then the destruction. And then you'd see if it's Mitzrayim and Nisan, and then the month after that, what is the event?
It's the month of Iyar.
The month of Iyar. So
its significance is, I'm telling you that the destruction of the world at now is should be seen from a perspective of its impact on Am Yisrael. That's why the count of the first and second month is launched from Yetzias Mitzrayim, not from the creation of the world.
Is there a second month after Nisan event that happens?
Yeah, the Mabul, according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Mabul took place on the 17th of month of Iyar.
Oh, I see.
And according to Rabbi Eliezer, it took place in the 17th month of Cheshvan, the second month of Rosh Hashanah, based on Tishrei.
So you're saying that
If you'll take your sheet for a second, you know I'm not a big Kabbalist fan. You know that? I'm not a big Kabbalist. But I want to show you a Zohar which makes a statement that has been widely accepted by many segments of Am Yisrael, of the religious community. And why some people believe that we're in the throngs and throes of redemption. It's all based on the Zohar of our parsha. The fact that the Torah tells us that the flood took place in the 600 years of Noah, according to the Zohar, has totally much greater significance. Let's read it. Zeh shenema b'Zohar HaKadosh, in the Holy Zohar, shebishnat sheish me'ot le'elef hashishi. Sheish me'ot le'elef hashishi. Yit patchun tare dechachmata le'ela. What is that sheish me'ot le'elef hashishi? The 600 years of what? Of le'elef hashishi. Of the 6,000. Where are we right now? We're in the 6,000. Right now. We are in the 6,000. Now, beginning the 600 years of that 6,000, we're already a little above that. We're now 5,755. But in the 600, what will start burgeoning and flowering? The world of Chachma. The world of wisdom. Wisdom. And many believe, seriously, that the world will only last another 245 years. And that's it. Because after the Elef Hashishi, what happens? What happens after Elef Hashishi? Then it's Mizmor Shir Leom HaShabbos. Then we all reach what? What's going to happen after that time? Yom Shikulo Shabbat. The day when nobody knows what it means, what's going to happen, but some type of messianic era will take place at this particular time. And Noah, 600 years of the sixth millennium, is the time when suddenly people will begin to start thinking about it intellectually and so on and so forth. And that's why so many people believe that we are in what's called Atchalta de Geula. That's why a lot of people, they blame the Zohar for it. And they really believe that the world can only last another 245 years, and that's it. After that, some radical change will take place. What that radical change is, I can't tell you, I don't know. But when you hear that, you know where to blame it. You blame it on the Zohar, which says if the launch point is, according to the Zohar, 600 years of Noah. 600 years. So into the beginning of the seventh millennium, that's when it takes place. And the 600 years, I can't tell you why, but he writes, Yit Patchun, Masel Yit Pateya, to develop the higher levels of sophistication of chachma. Maybe it refers to the great discoveries that are taking place, technological discoveries, scientific discoveries, because people will tell you that science and technology have advanced in the last 100 years 5,000 times more than it did, what? In the first 5,600 years of creation. That's a fact. That is undoubtedly a fact. And that is blamed, not blamed, but they claim it. The Zohar traces it. Traces it. So just be aware of it. Just be aware of it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is something there about the fact that there's an explosion of knowledge at this particular time. And that explosion is a fact. You can't deny it. Can't deny it. Particularly in the area of advances of science and technology. Particularly. What phone do you have? It's outdated. It's outdated. Yeah. I haven't found anything. That's your task to find some significance. I have not seen any comment about that. Please, that's a good idea. That's all. Well, you know, respect for a parent is supposed to be like respect for the body show. So there it is. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is Kilo a catalyst?
Who?
Kilo. He made the count of 6,000 years.
I don't know if he made the count of the 6,000. Hillel orchestra. Hillel's calendar can go on le'olam va'ed, le'olam va'ed, because he gave us the system how to calculate the new moon. So once you know how to calculate the new moon, it can go on forever. Can go on forever. Until, of course, there'll be the next Sanhedrin. Then they will no longer be calculating based on the creation of. There'll be testimony of the witnesses. That will go back to that system. Testimony of the witnesses. Right. Yeah. But with today, with technology, the reason for a second day Yom Tov won't be necessary. Because why is there a second day Yom Tov? Because they couldn't be sure when in Yerushalayim the witnesses came. Well, today, 1 second later, the only time that you will have to have 2 days Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah you can't send a text, but for all other chagim it won't be necessary because we will know exactly when they are. What?
Why is it necessary outside?
Why is it necessary? Because you will not have known when in Beit Din they were sanctified. When did the witnesses show up? But they're not gonna. If witnesses have to come, how are you gonna know Tina on Rosh Hashanah that they came yesterday or today? How will you know? You can't. No, but you can't use technology on Yom Tov. If it's Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Hashanah. All the other chagim, you have a time delay. If it's Rosh Chodesh, 15 days later is Pesach. 15 days is Sukkot. 10 days is Yom Kippur. 6 days is Shavuos. You have time. But Rosh Hashanah, Bo Bayom, you have to observe 2 days Yom Tov. That's it. That you'll have to do. Yeah. See, if there wouldn't be 2 days Yom Tov, there'd be more fighting where I down which day. That's like this 2 days I can get in both all the minyan. That's all. Okay. Yeah.
Is the Zohar kind of saying that with the rescue of Noah, the world is saved, but for a finite amount of time? Whereas maybe before it might have gone on.
That's a very interesting interpretation. That is a very interesting. That maybe the Zohar was saying that God allowed the world to be saved to Noah, but not infinite. That's interesting. Had the world not sinned, then the creation of the world would have lasted. You know, well, yeah, that's very interesting.
And then it becomes parallel, but it's got and then brings mortality, and it's
all. That's very interesting.
Until it got too smart for its own good. And then,
yeah. I hear that. That's very interesting. Yeah. Let's move on. Now, let's just take a look at, again, Rashi. Rishonim are pretty quiet. All the Parshanim are pretty quiet as to what's happening here. Nothing unusual. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, after the first comment that he quotes the Machlokis that I just told you, in the last comment of Rashi, Tahom Rabbah. Now, the word Tahom by itself means what?
Death.
The death. Exactly. Why did it have to say Tehom Rabba, the great depth? It says, from a simple pshat, no difficulty. Take a look at Rashi. Tehom Rabba, midah keneged midah. This use, employing of the word Rabba, is to indicate that God always punishes measure for measure. How does he get this? Heim chatu birabba ra'at ha'adam. At the end of Parshat Bereshit, God, it says, Vayar Hashem, ki rabba ra'at ha'adam. Maset rabba ra'at ha'adam. He saw that their badness, their being bad, was very bad. Rabba ra'at ha'adam. Since their transgression engaged in what type of description? Rabba, really bad. How does God punish? The great depth to hold Rabba, make an effort to come out exactly, highlighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah, that he's exact midah keneged midah. Velaku b'tahom Rabba. That's a comment that Rashi will make many times in the Chumash, that God tries to engage in some type of, you know, measured response, and that measured response is midah keneged midah. Tries to find something that you were guilty of. That's what happens. Right. That's what happens. I'll give you an illustration where Rashi uses that. At the end of Parshat Balucha, we are told about Miriam developing leprosy. So what is the characteristic about a leper in Jewish law? What happens to that person? Good. Where does he have to be? Badad yeshev michutz lamachaneh, as the pasuk says. Outside the camp. Why outside the camp? So Rashi always comes. Why? Because what did the leper do to warrant leprosy? Lashon hara. So when you're with the gang, what do you like to do? You like to gossip. Oh, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Did you hear this? So the way you cut off, the way you counter the tendency to gossip is to isolate the person and don't allow them to react within society. So Rashi says it's the midah keneged midah. You'll find this in Rashi quite a number of times. Quite a number of times. Yeah. Vayehi pasuk yud bet. Vayehi hageshem al haaretz arba'im yom v'arba'im laila. So Rashi previous told us, you asked about the 150 days. What about the 40 days? Why did it specifically rain for 40 days? So we omitted a Rashi. I saved it for now. If you look at Pasuk for a second. Pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. And the last Rashi of Pasuk Dalet, when God told Noach that it will rain for 40 days. Look at Rashi's comment, Arba'im Yom. What does Rashi say? Why dafka 40 days? No, that's not what Rashi says. That's, he said, Liyame Ochiva, 7 extra days. It's not what Rashi says.
Correct. Days that it takes for an embryo to...
Correct. Rashi operates on the notion that after a husband and wife have relations and impregnate sperm and egg, it takes 40 days to actually create the embryo. And that has halakhic significance also. Many times that when you deal with an abortion, there is a distinction whether you want to make an abortion before 40 days or after 40 days. Because after 40 days is considered yitzirat havlad. So Rashi says, What did these people do after they were born? What did they do? What did they do?
They were evil.
They were evil. They had relations with other wives. And what is the product of a child? What is the child? Because a mamzer. So I, God, will have wasted my 40-day enterprise. 40 days is when I did, what did I do? I created this human being. And what did this human being decide to do after he was born? Engage in an opportunity to create a mamzer. So I wasted my 40 days. In order to demonstrate that I wasted my 40 days, it's going to rain for 40 days. Kacha Omer Rashi. Kacha Omer Rashi. There are others who have other interpretations. Where else does 40 days play a role?
Moshe.
Correct. Moshe and Har Sinai are ba'ir. Lecha molachalti omai Moshe sisi for 40 days. So now make that connection. Why 40 days? What's the corresponding link between the 40 days of Moshe and the 40 days here? What are you going to suggest?
Earth and the Torah Society.
What? Earth
and the Torah Society.
Good. There are values of the Torah that were in effect even when prior to Matan Torah. How many mitzvot of the Torah were in effect before Matan Torah? Seven. And one of them was not to marry someone who you're not married to. Not to have arayot, adultery was one of the seven. No doubt. So it's creating an imagery here that the Mabul is related. Why? Because eventually it's going to be coded for the world at that 40-day stay of Matan Har Sinai. Plus, Rashi is going to add another thing, which was a critical mistake of Am Yisrael. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at Rashi's comment on Arba'im Yom in Pasuk Yud Bet. Then we'll get back to Rashi's first comment. What does Rashi say?
First day doesn't count.
First day doesn't count. So when it says 40 days and 40 nights, what does it mean? It started raining when? During the day. But that first day is not to be counted.
Because it didn't have a day.
Correct. You must have a full 24-hour day. Who made that same mistake? When? When Moshe went up. Exactly. Okay, but they counted, they made a day with the wrong count. They counted the day when Moshe went up, and they did not recognize that what? That when he said 40 days, it means a full 24-hour day. So once again, there is this common denominator between what and what? Between something that takes place at Sinai and here, again, to create that imagery in your mind. In your mind.
Does that link up to 39 Machot or 40?
It might be. It might be. But you only give 39, not 40. Even though it says 40.
Sort of backwards.
Says 40 in the text. Arboim Yakeno. Does say 40. So there's a whole Ibn Ezra which says it's really dirty because the Torah just rounds off to even numbers. That's why. That's how he answers so many difficulties. When it says that the Jews went down to Mitzrayim with how many people?
70.
So Rashi gets a headache and he starts counting. It's only 69. So what is the answer? Everybody answers. Oh, your Chevet was born as you. Ibn Ezra says, don't give me a headache. The Torah rounds off to the nearest tenth at 70. And he's probably right. How do I know? Look at Bamidbar chapter 1.
The census.
It is impossible statistically that every single tribe rounded happened to be exactly on an even number at 50 or 100. Never. It's impossible. Maybe that one wasn't 39, 48? 70,648 though. It was 70,650. Always. Why? Torah rounds off. He's probably right.
How about the 40 years in the Midbar? How close to actual 40 was that?
No, it was that was pretty much actual. Pretty much real. Yeah. Pretty much real. But again, that 40 plays such a significant role here, Sinai. You can make a whole drasha about that. You know, you should make a whole drasha about that. Good. But before that, Rashi makes one critical point, emphasizing what we said before. Rashi says here that in Pasuk Yud Bet, it says, Vayhi HaGeshem, and five Pasukim later, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Vayhi HaMabul. So look at Rashi. Tell me.
I did.
Good. Good. So how does Rashi portray it?
That it was raining and it would have been turned into a rain.
But at the beginning, what type of rain was it?
Gentle rain.
Gentle rain.
And
he
could have turned it into a rock.
Exactly. It didn't start with a downpour. It started with gentle rain. Raining. Exactly. So when it starts raining, if you believe that God is indeed going to bring a marble, when you see it starts raining, what should enter your mind? This is about to unfold. Do tshuva. Because that's what he wants. So what would have happened to the rain had they changed their mind? Another apple tree would have blossomed. Another apple tree would blossom. Correct? That's why every time when we make a request for rain, every time when we have, what do? Livracha, Livracha. And the Eidot HaMizrach community, when they say, Mashi Paruach Moed HaGeshem, what does the entire community call out?
Livracha.
We don't do it. Ashkenaz. But the Sfaradim do it. All Eidot HaMizrach do that. Every time, Mashi Paruach Moed HaGeshem, says Mashi Paruach Moed HaGeshem, everybody calls out, Livracha. Because rains have the capacity to be the greatest blessing and the greatest klala. So when we bet Geshem, we say, Livracha v'lo l'klala. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken those very same rains and endowed them as a sense of bracha. It was just waiting for those people to repent.
In Cheshvan, but if those rains came as Iyar, if we say the second month was Cheshvan,
right,
it would be very easy to believe that these were just normal seasonal rains.
Right.
But if it started to rain in Iyar,
right,
people would have had a sense of the end of the world.
Because you're looking from the perspective of Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
In Israel, it doesn't rain in Iyar.
Right.
It doesn't.
Whatever this was,
but that's a good point. That's even a better point. If you don't expect rain to come, this ought to be a sign. Hey, it's just raining. It rains here all the time. But if it doesn't rain, that's a very good point. If you're doing it from Iyar, that's correct. Yes. Very nice, beautiful, beautiful.
And also, Matar in Shema is used as.
Matar atzachem bi'ito yorel makosh. The Matar is that. That's correct. Very nice. You're learning. That's great. You be a darshan. That's all. Like your father. That's all. Yeah. All right, we'll stop here. There will not be a shir next week. In 2 weeks, we continue.
Safe trip.
Thank you.